Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. Welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles. It's a joy and a privilege to be here with you this morning. And I appreciate each one of you that has tuned in. Trust the broadcast will be a blessing to you today and give you a little encouragement and a few thoughts from the Word of God that maybe will encourage you and help you along life's way. Well, we just finished our second week of revival, and my, what a great time we had. And if you missed it, you really missed a blessing. Good preaching, good singing, just a sweet spirit there every night. And my, how the Lord has helped our church and blessed. And if you missed it, I'm sorry, because you really missed a blessing. Now, let me give you my church announcements before we move on. We begin our Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday mornings. Our morning worship starts at 10:45. Our Sunday evening service starts at 6, and our Wednesday evening starts at 7. Give you an invitation to come and be with us in these meetings. I know the Lord will bless you. Now, on this next coming Sunday, on the 12th, we will be having a special Mother's Day program. If you don't have some place to attend church with your mother, grab her. Come on down to 1585 Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee, to the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, and join us for this special service. It's always such a sweet service and such a good time as we honor the mothers. All right, we're going to have a song, and then we'll be back with today's message, continuing our series In Christ as the Rock.
Don't sacrifice
Well, that was the Joy Heirs singing Beulah Land, and I trust that the song was a blessing to you this morning, and certainly one of the great all-time gospel songs of our time, written by Squire Parson, performed by him first, and I guess about every artist in the world has performed it since then. I do it quite often at church, and a great song. Appreciate the words to that song and the inspiration that God gave a man to write it. Now let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be back on the broadcast today, for the wonderful blessings you've given us this week, for the revelations you've made of yourself to us, and the work you've done in our heart, and the reviving that you gave us. And Lord, I just pray that we'll keep that revival spirit in our heart and keep going forward. And, Lord, just seek ways to please you more and more every day. Father, I pray today for the broadcast that as it goes out, it'll reach the heart of some individual that needs it. And whatever their need is will be met through this broadcast. Lord, I know that you're able to take it and use it as you see fit. And that's what I want you to do. If it just pleases you, Lord, to just anoint this broadcast as it goes out. On the radio around Knoxville area, and then around the world on the World Wide Web. I pray, Lord, that somebody somewhere will hear it and will be curious enough to inquire about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done at Calvary, and bring old-time conviction on somebody and save them, Lord, before it's too late. And, Lord, I pray to touch those that are sick and suffering, those even that we know about with cancer and different things. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them today and help them through these hard days. Help their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll be going back into our series, our subject, as Christ as the rock or the stone. And we want to speak about the second time that this rock had been used to rescue the people. And last week we looked at that rock going into Samaria, talking to the Samaritan woman. And we'll be having some more comments on that later. But to begin with, I always like to do my springboard scriptures. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this rock is a type of Christ, and in order for a type in the Old Testament to be considered a type, it must have some proof in the New Testament that that's what it was, and I don't think you can deny this one. Chapter 10, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, now that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So we do have ample proof in the New Testament that this rock that is spoken of there in the Old Testament was none other than Jesus Christ himself. And he followed them wherever they went. And today we want to look at a passage from the book of Numbers, chapter 20. And we'll be reading you an encounter there. Now, this is the rock of refreshment, or the sustaining rock. In this one, if you remember, once before when they came to Meribah, they had no water, and they had, I might have got that wrong. Anyway, the first time, and I don't have it written down right now, and I'll just pass on that. I don't want to say something wrong. But the first time that they encountered a place where there was no water, God told Moses, "Take his rod and smite that rock, and that it would bring forth water." And we find that that's what he did. He smote that rock, and out of that rock came water, and it supplied about 2 million people, along with all of their cattle, and sheep, goats, and whatever else they might have had. Plenty of water for everything that they needed. And the Bible tells us that that rock was Jesus, and I can tell you that he was smitten of God. We've already covered that he was the smitten rock. God smote him there on the cross of Calvary, where he died under the penalty of my sin and your sin. And because of that smitten that he suffered from God, today he is a rock of refreshment to you and me. He is a sustaining rock. Now, first of all, I believe you could say that this is a rock of salvation, because we talked about last week that down in Samaria, when Jesus found the woman at the well there, we said that that entire village depended on that one well for life. And as it was with that well sustaining physical life, can I say to you, there can be no eternal life without the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock that followed Israel around the desert and came to their rescue every time that they needed him. And can I say to you today that if you're a child of God, if you've been saved, if you've drank from that rock the first time, if you understand what it means to have that well of water springing up inside of you, and to know that you've been born again, he's a sustaining rock, and he will sustain you when no one else can. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Doesn't mean you're always going to like what he does and what you have to do. But it does mean that through him we can be sustained and we can be refreshed and we can continue to walk with him. Now then, I want you to notice that in this encounter, when they came to this place where there was no water, that they were told, God told Moses to go out and to not to smite the rock again, but he told him to go out and speak to the rock. And when he went out there, Moses was he was angry. The people had provoked him to anger. And he went out there, and God told him to take the rod with him because that was Moses' sign of God's presence. It was what he used to stretch out over the Red Sea, and the waters parted. It was what he took with him every time he went to see Pharaoh. And so he was to take it with him as a sign of God's presence and of God's messenger. And then in verse number 7, it said, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, to them shall, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron with gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So we find that in disobedience to God's command, Moses struck that rock with that rod again. And this time he was told only to speak to it. And we find that in his anger, and maybe in a little bit of self elevation, he said, "Must we bring forth water for you?" Let me say that God was the one that brought the water forth, but said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them." Meribah means striving or rebelling or something of that nature. Now then, Moses had disobeyed God and struck that rock instead of speaking to it. And so for that reason, he was denied ever getting to enter into the promised land of Canaan. Instead, he was allowed to look over into it and to see it and to understand what it was that God had given them and what it was that he had forfeited by his rebellion. And yet, why was it so serious? Why did God take such drastic action? Well, let me tell you. Moses had spoiled a perfect type. Because the way this thing works, Christ as the refreshing stone, the sustaining stone, first of all, let me say that the stone had to be smitten in order to bring salvation. But he never has to be smitten again. He never has to die again. He never has to pay another price. And we find something that will help us to understand this over in the book of John and chapter 13. And begin reading with verse number 2. And I did not mark my Bible before I started, so it's taking me a minute to get there. But the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And let me go through these scriptures, and it'll help us to understand the difference in the smiting stone and the speaking stone. It said, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to wash his needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He spoke that knowing who Judas Iscariot was and what he had done and what he was going to do. So what is it talking about? Well, if you look at those words that Jesus used in verse number 10, he told Peter, he said, He that is washed needeth not save or except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. What's the difference? Well, there's a difference there of the smitten stone and the speaking stone. The smitten stone is what washes us every whit. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us from our sin and saved us the day that we came to him under conviction and confessed our sins, asked him to save us, and we came to that smitten stone and accepted for ourselves the death that Jesus died, confessing that he died in our place. We deserved to die. We were the sinner, and yet he was the Savior, and he did come and he did pay for our sins. And when we come to him in simple belief, confessing our sins and asking him, he will save us. That's washing us. We get cleansed from all of our sins at that very minute. Every sin we've ever committed and every sin we'll ever will be, ever will commit, will be forgiven right then. However, that next word that he said, wash his feet. There's two different words in the Greek used there. The word washed, the first word, is a word that means to take a bath all over, to be washed all over completely. But then that second word, wash, refers to the custom of washing their feet when they returned home after going to the public bathhouses. Now, their homes in those days did not have running water. In fact, most places there was a central water supply. Everybody had to get their water from the same place. And so there were no bathhouses, there were no bathtubs, no provisions for taking baths in the individual homes. So bathhouses were set up where you citizens could go and take a bath in these bathhouses. Well, then when they walked back from the bathhouse to their home, their feet would get dirty. And therefore, they would have water there so that they could wash their feet when they came in. And Jesus is showing these disciples that he is washing us continually. And that's what it's talking about. Now then, that is further explained over in John, explains something else that makes this very clear over in the epistle of John, the very first one, where he said in chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and have heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that ye that your joy may be full. And so then we go on down. It said, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the truth as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you go on down to verse number 9 to 10, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, what's he talking about? Well, first of all, if we confess that we're a sinner up first, and can I say that there's a difference in sin, singular, and sins, plural. Usually, now not every case, but usually in the Bible, when you see that word sin, S-I-N, singular, it's referring to the nature of sin that man is born into. That sin that occupies this flesh that we live in, that appeals to this flesh that we live in, and will do everything it can to please this flesh that we live in. That's the sin, singular, that it's talking about. But when it talks about sins, S-I-N-S, that's talking about individual acts of sin that we commit on a daily basis. Now, I know there's some people out there that say, I don't sin. Well, I just read to you a verse that said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say that, we have just called God a liar, because he said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I know you like to refer that to being before you were saved, but I want to tell you something. The Bible says the very thought of foolishness is sin. It also says that if we know to do good and don't do it, then that's sin. So therefore, friend, if God has pointed something out in your life that you needed to do and you didn't do it, that's a sin of omission, and that's just as deadly as any other sin. It's sin. Sin is sin to God. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's a sin of commission or a sin of omission or a sin of just gossiping about somebody or whatever. But the Bible says that Jesus can cleanse us from all of that. Now, first of all, that first cleansing is the one I talked to you about. That was the cleansing that we get the day that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess to Him we know we are a sinner, and we ask to be saved. That's when we're cleansed and bathed. We're washed all over, the smitten stone. But then, as we walk through this world, and as we travel on our Christian journey, we find that as we go through this world, we are polluted. We are, things happen. Parts of this world, they get up on us. We get tired. We get defiled. And as much as we try to maybe separate ourselves from this world system, things are going to happen. I mean, we're going to have things that's going to make our blood boil. We're going to miss opportunities to serve God. We're going to do all kinds of things, whereas we are going to sin, and we're going to get our feet dirty, as we, so to speak, as we journey through this world. And when that happens, we do have a foot washer. We can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him, can we confess that sin, and ask Him to forgive us of that sin. And the Bible says that He is faithful and just. He's faithful, which means when we come to Him in sincerity as His child and ask Him to forgive us, He is faithfully going to do that. He is not going to say, no, I don't think I'll do that today. I think I'll just let you steep in that for a while. No, He is faithful to do that. And second of all, He's just. He's justified in doing that. Why? Well, because God has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Therefore, one sin is enough to send all of us to hell. Every one of us could go to hell just for one sin of omission. But God was justified because He made a provision and He paid the price through giving His Son there on Calvary to pay the sin debt for mankind, not only for sins past, but sins present and sins future, because He said that He's just to forgive us our sins. And then not only that, but as we confess those sins, we should learn from them. And it says He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we commit those sins, and He convicts us of those sins, and we confess them, and get forgiven, and He cleanses us, then we ought to learn from that as we move on down the road in this journey towards heaven. Now, I'm running out of time. I want to say I appreciate each one of you listening today. I trust that the broadcast has been a help and a blessing to you. If you've never known the joy of that bath, if you've never had that initial contact, that first time that you encountered the smitten rock, and you confessed to Him that you were a sinner and were saved, I want to invite you today to do that. Friends, you'll never be sorry that you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be a friend that'll stick closer to a brother. He'll stay with you all through this life. And when you reach the end of the way, He'll carry you gently over into Beulah Land. You can go ahead and cross that river with confidence that He's going to be there. May God bless you. If the Lord spoke in your heart today, please come get along somewhere and ask Him to forgive you. In the authority of God's word, I know He'll do it.